Luke 24, verse 1. We're continuing on easy believism Bible study. Luke chapter 24, starting in verse number 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of the sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. Now the angel is reminding them of the words that Jesus already told them. Look, I'm not Jesus, but one of the principal duties of a pastor is to put you in remembrance of these things. One of the principal duties of any leader, any authority, is to keep remind. One of the three ingredients in teaching is repetition. So I heard that, Pastor. Well, we need to hear it again. Oh, I read the Bible one time, Pastor. Well, you need to read it again. And so one of the most important ingredients is to remind you, remember what God said in this book, in this chapter, in this verse? Hey, remember that sermon that Pastor preached? Remember that Bible study he taught? What we need, all of us, there's not a one of us are exempt from this, all of us need repetition, okay? So he said, remember, verse 8, and they remembered his words. You would think they went to the grave. You would think it would just jump into their minds. Oh, yeah, Jesus did say he was going to raise from the dead. He's not going to be dead after a while. Then the angels told them, remember? They remember, the Bible says, his words, and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. Watch this. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Huh. Sounds like 2019 Baptist. Say, yeah. I've heard that before. Yeah, okay, sure, yeah. Well, the difference is what you believe. The difference is what you don't believe, as you'll see. It's either believing or not believing. Verse number 12. Then arose Peter and ran into the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at that which was to pass, come to pass. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs, about 7.5 miles. 60 furlongs, about 6.5 miles. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. So here's Jesus walking with them, and God, because he has the power, he kept their minds, their eyes, I don't want to say blinded, but not knowing who Jesus was, okay? Like Mary asked, are you the gardener? Where are you later, you know? And by the way, Jesus can keep you from revealing himself to you completely except through a third person. Didn't Jesus say, if you visited the sick, those in prison, you visited me? I mean, he did say that, right? So God uses people. I know he uses circumstances, but God uses people more than circumstances, although he does use circumstances. But God is not using dreams, visions, and audible voices today, ladies and gentlemen. It's all done away with in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. That was in the Old Testament and up until the completion of the New Testament. So Jesus draws nigh to them. It says, verse 16, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? That's like a question like they ask all the Baptists today. Why are you sad? If you're saved, if you're a child of God, why are you sad? But you don't know my husband, my wife, my children, my parents. Okay, are you saved or born again? Are you a child of God? Are you on your way to heaven? Is this world more important to you and the people on this earth more important to you than Jesus? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? Don't you know what I'm going through? Do you know Jesus? I mean, have you been saved? Have you been born again? And I'm not saying everything's kosher or everything's good or everything is right in somebody's life. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that people don't have burdens and heartaches. I am not minimizing any of those. But a child of God already has a victory through faith. We have victory right now. Not over people, not over circumstances, but how you deal with all the people and all the circumstances in your life. And you know what it is? Just believing God. God says in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them that love God. That's what he said. He said, Pastor, do you know what I'm going through? God says, I want to remind you what God said in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. It may not look good now. It may look bleak now. But I'll remind you what Jesus said. All things work together for good to them that love God. So as long as you love God, it's going to work out for good. Even though this is not good right now, what you're going through, it's going to work out for good as long as you love God. That's one of my jobs, to remind you that God loves you, God's on the throne, and everything's going to be all right. I promise you, if you love God. Now, if you don't love God, you're in big trouble. You're in big trouble if you don't love God, because it's not going to work out right. Your job is to love God. So he says, are you a stranger here? Verse number 19, he said unto them, what things? Can you imagine Jesus having this conversation? What are you talking about? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. And we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. That's interesting that you threw that in. Huh? Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And they're sad. It's unbelievable when you think about it. Do you believe Jesus Christ? I'm not asking you if you believe in Jesus Christ. I'm asking you, do you believe Jesus Christ? See, you can be saved because you believed in God to trust him to save your soul. But do you believe the rest of what he said? They're sad. After they heard the news that the sepulcher's empty, his body's not there. And they're saying, and by the way, this is the third day. And certain of them, verse 24, which were with us, went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. They saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools. That's what Paul said to the Galatians. Who hath bewitched you? Foolish Galatians. Who hath bewitched you that you should not believe the truth? I mean, who is it in your life that's bewitching you or persuading you or influencing you not to believe what God said? Do you realize I can die right now? You can die right now? We can all die right now. The most important thing in your life is being right when you meet God. Let me repeat that. The most important thing in your life right now is to believe God, obey God, and be right with God when you die. You know, I would hate not to be in church when God comes or God calls and I get to meet God disobeying Hebrews 10:25. Just me personally. I would hate to meet God if I disobeyed the tithing commandment. I would hate to meet God if I was drinking my liquor and playing my bingo and lottery tickets just a couple hours ago. I'd hate to meet God that way. And I don't plan on meeting God that way, by the way. What I'm saying is the most important day coming up in your life is the day you take your last breath. You better be ready for that. He says, O fools, and slow of heart to believe, watch this, all that the prophets have spoken. All of it. Watch this. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses, that's Genesis 1:1. Moses wrote the first five books, ladies and gentlemen. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets. That's just about the entire Old Testament, ladies and gentlemen. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. That's, can you imagine? Walking with Jesus and Jesus showing you everything in the Old Testament. Hold your place there and go to 2 Chronicles 20, please. 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. Again, please understand, we're not Jesus. I'm not Jesus. I just have the Word of God. If I say something that's contrary to the Word of God, don't worry about it. If you think I'm teaching something that's not right with the Word of God, don't worry about it. But you better know what God says in the Word of God. 2 Chronicles chapter number 20, verse number 20. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 20. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe, that's all you got to do. Believe in the Lord your God. So shall ye be established. Watch this. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. You know why people are failing miserable? Because they don't believe God, they don't believe the Word of God, and they don't believe the man of God. You look at anybody that doesn't believe God and the man of God and the Word of God, look at their lives. Their lives are falling apart. I can't control anybody. I can control myself, though. I can control what I believe. Now, here's the thing. Belief, as we're going through this Bible study, and let's go back to Luke 24 now. Jesus said, when you pray, believe, praying. You'll have these things. That's what he said. And here's what happens. You think if you do A, B, or C, God will answer your prayer. I don't think so. Now, I think you got the cart before the horse. What happens is, if you believe God in one area, that belief will transcend into all other areas. Your belief will seep into all the other areas, and you'll do them not because you want a prayer answered or because you want to have something over God. You're going to force God to answer your prayer. No, you got the cart before the horse. If you believe his word enough where you're willing to do what he said and you're willing to obey the rest of the word of God, guess what? That belief will transcend into all your other areas of life. But most people don't believe the word of God. You believe John 3:16 to get saved. You believe Romans 10:13 to be saved. Well, how about the rest of all the scriptures that Jesus is expounding to his disciples? Are the rest of the script, the whole counsel of God, is that any less truth than John 3:16? Is that any less important than Romans 10:13? Well, that's what he says. There's Luke 24, watch this, and verse number 25 again. Then he said unto them, O fools, watch this, and slow of heart. The problem is, you are taking your times too slow to believe everything. You're dragging your feet to believe what God said. And that's affecting your entire life. I mean, when you found out you were a sinner going to hell, why did you pray all of a sudden? Why did you jump to that and say, God, I don't want to die and go to hell. Please save my soul. Well, you believe that enough to save your skin from hell, to save yourself from the fire. Well, how about the rest of the Bible that'll bless you for the rest of your life? Don't you want to do that? Why wouldn't you want to believe? Why would you purposely slow down your heart and slow down your wanting to believe that because you love your sin too much. You love your liquor, your booze, your beer, your wine too much. Your strong drink. You like your weed too much. You like your marijuana too much. You like your prescription drugs too much. I don't know what it is. Whatever it is, why is your heart slow to believe? That's what we're talking about, belief. And that's all it is, belief. You know, it's God does something that no other religion does. Here's what he does. Let's call this belief, this canister belief. You know what he does? God puts it down here where everybody can grab it. You don't need intellect. You don't need education. You don't need an IQ. You just have to be of age, of understanding to grab it by belief. You don't have to be a PhD. You don't have to be a college-educated moron. You just have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And God makes it available at the lowest common denominator. You don't have to be bright. You can be educably slow. You can be mentally retarded. You can be disabled. You can have a brain injury. You can be 5, 6 years old. And let me tell you something. Children 5, 6, 7, 8 years old believe it more than you believe it. Because they don't have their pride and ego and the influence of people ruining them. It's the people in children's lives that keep them from living for God and wanting to live for God. You get a 5, 7-year-old boy or girl, 8-year-old boy or girl, and you tell them what God says, and they'll believe it before adults do. Why? Because they haven't been evil influenced enough, for the vast majority now, they have not been evil influenced enough to say no. They say, yeah, I want to go to heaven when I die. I don't want to go to hell when I die. And you know what? Then you go to the rest of the scriptures, they'll believe it before adults do. That's why adults are so sad. They're slow to believe all the rest of the scriptures. The reason you don't obey the rest of the Bible, you obeyed the gospel to get saved because you had that grain of a mustard seed. That's all you need to get saved. That's all you need, a grain of a mustard seed. Well, that's all you need for the rest of it too. Keep reading here, verse 27 again. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. And they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. That's your sci-fi movies right there, huh? You're more interested in sci-fi movies that cannot compare to the word of God and to God himself. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? Man. So here's, and by the way, while he's eating with them, their eyes were open and they knew him. That's what it says. And their eyes were open and they knew him, verse 31. Hey, the more you eat the manna from heaven, the more you'll know Jesus. The more you feast on the word of God, the more your heart will lean to believe the word of God. And more to lean to believe what Jesus said. Pastor, I can't do that. Yes, you can. You just don't want to. Pastor, nobody's doing that. Yes, people are doing it. I can't talk to people about Jesus. Yes, you can. If you love people and you love God, you would share the gospel with people. The reason we don't is because we're cold-hearted, we're slow to believe, and we're afraid what people are going to say. I know, I've been there. I'm telling you, I've been there. People make fun of you, they criticize you, they mock you. You know, I remember one time at work, and I try to give people time at work, you know, I try to catch them either a break or something like that, you know, and I remember giving somebody the gospel, give them a track or whatever it was. I can't remember now. I'm talking about 10, 15 years ago, maybe even longer. And this, the first response they said, I can't even tell you who it was. I can't even tell you exactly when it was. But here's the, I still remember the first words they said after I started giving them, I gave them a gospel tract and started witnessing. Here's what they said. They told me that you would do this. That's the first thing that person said. They told me that you were going to do this. Well, I know people are talking about you. Get over it. I know people are making fun of you and mocking you. But a person saved from hell is worth it, ladies and gentlemen. When you stand before God and you see souls that either you've led to Jesus Christ or our church has led to Jesus Christ, you're going to say, wow, I wish I had done more. I can't believe I let the world and fake friends and neighbors and relatives and Satan himself deceive me into not witnessing to other people that needed to get saved. And you're going to see loved ones and friends and family and relatives being cast into the lake of fire because they didn't receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. And you're going to say, I wish I could go back and redo it. You can't. You can't redo it. This is it right now while we're alive, while we're breathing, before you take your last breath. You need to believe it now, and not just for yourself, but for those that you say that you love. You may not think you're that good of a Christian. You may not think you're obeying God, but I'm telling you, the vast majority of the people in your life that know you, you're the closest thing to God that they'll ever see. Say, Pastor, I'm a sinner. I know we're all sinners. And I fail miserably. Welcome to the club, ladies and gentlemen. But most of the people that you know, they think that you're the closest thing to God. And they need to hear from you. You have to believe that. Let them laugh, let them mock, let them criticize you, let them get upset, let them get angry. They need to hear from you about the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 33. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. I mean, he vanished out of their sight. He just shows up right away like this. But you know why? Because he's God. Hey, if you like science fiction stuff, why don't you start reading the Bible? Just read what Ezekiel said about flying saucers. You'll be shocked. I mean, he wrote that 2,500 years ago before the first science fiction movie ever. I mean, the first science fiction movie series I ever saw was Lost in Space. You know, that was 50 years ago, whatever. And we thought, wow, that's strange. That's weird, isn't it? Now what they're having today on television, on video games, man, I'll tell you, it's really, a lot of it's satanic and devilish, man. But if you're into that, read the Bible. Jesus vanishes, he shows up. And by the way, one day you're going to die and you're going to show up at the judgment seat. And you're not going to be standing on anything. You'll be on the air. You understand? There won't be any ground you'll be standing on. You and I, we're limited to a three-dimensional life. We can't think past gravity. We can't think past time. We can't think past limited environments that we're bound to. God's not bound to any of it. When you stand before God, you'll be standing on air nowhere.
Verse number 37, they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts?
I mean, think about it. These are his disciples. 3.5 years. They preached with them. They ministered with them. They saw the miracles. They saw the dead raised again. I like to ask you the same kind of questions that Jesus asked. Why are you sad today? Well, because the governor is an anti-Christian person? Okay. You don't like the president? You don't like the mayor? You don't like the council? You don't like your neighbors? Okay. Big deal. Who cares? If you're a child of God, I'm telling you, and I'm not saying you shouldn't have a sad heart over certain things, but when it's continual, there's a problem inside. I'm disappointed in our country, sure. I'm sad about the state of our country, but I'm not sad as an individual. I'm not going to allow the sadness that I have for my country or my city or people that I know and that I people that I love affect me to be sad 24/7. Ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. If you believe in Jesus, you don't have to let it happen. Believe the word of God. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper, the Bible says. Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Why do you let, you're allowing thought, you know, Paul wrote, he says, bringing every thought into captivity. You ought to be careful what you think about, because what you think about is going to sooner or later turn into action. You're going to say something and the words are going to, you're going to do something. People just don't do something all of a sudden and say, oh, I don't know why I did it. Oh yeah, there's a reason why you did something, because you had thought about it. He said, behold, verse number 39, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. That's why we believe in the physical bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. The physical bodily resurrection. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet, and while they yet believed not for joy. You ever seen the videos where some son or husband shows up from overseas being in the military? Huh? Do you ever see that they come home, they surprise their wife, they surprise their children? If you ever see the reaction, sometimes out of joy, they back up, they can't believe it. And then it takes sometimes, you know, a 1, 2 seconds, 5 seconds, 10 seconds sometimes, but everybody's different. And then they run to them, and they run to the man, and they grab, and they hug, and they kiss him. Tears coming down. It's unbelievable, the statement here. It says, while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye there here any meat? Can you imagine not believing? Say, is this really happening? Is this for real? By the way, you're going to think that when you die. I said, you're going to think that when you die. I really believe the first thing you're going to think is this real? When you stand before God, and you see the multitude of the angels, when you see heaven and hell, when you see eternity, I can't believe, here's what you're going to say, I can't believe it's true. I can't believe it's all true. You and I are on this side of a glass looking darkly through. You and I can't see everything that God can see. You and I can't see everything the devils can see. You and I can't see everything the angels can see. That's why we have to believe by faith, ladies and gentlemen. And the more faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The more faith you have from the hearing of the word of God, the more you believe. And it's a gradual process for all of us. Salvation, as I said before, is instantaneous. It's instantaneous. It's immediate. But growth in the Christian life, growth in grace by faith, is a lifelong process. While they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of an honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all these things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. I mean, if you read the other Gospels, you know, he upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, the Bible says. We went through that. I mean, the 11 disciples. Why? Because they were just like, they had the same flesh that you and I have. They have the same struggles that you and I have. They have the same perplexions, or I shouldn't say perplexions. They have the same perplexing thoughts of amazement or wonderment, whatever you want to call it, that you and I have. So, some people can't believe the word of God or choose not to believe the word of God and just cut out earlier, you know, than they were supposed to. Do you know how many people have walked away from the dock 2 minutes before their ship sailed in? Do you know how many people have walked away from God that couldn't hang on or couldn't believe long enough before the answer to prayer came, before the power of God came, before the blessings of God came. I can't hold on. Yes, you can. You can believe and hang on. Only believe is a song. That's what the Bible says. Jesus said, only believe. Verse 45. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. That's one of my jobs, to teach and preach the word of God so that you can understand what God said. You're not here to follow a man-made religion. You're not here to follow a man-made institution. You're not here to follow a religious organization. You're here to follow Jesus Christ. My job is to point you to him. My job is to point you to this book. That's why I make it very important to you that you need a King James Bible to read. If you do not have a King James Bible, you do not have the Word of God. Verse 46, he opened their understanding to the scriptures, verse 46 now, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer. He's talking about himself. And to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. Remember Matthew and Mark, especially in Mark? After he chewed them out, lashed at them, he upbraided them, the Bible says, with their hardness of heart and unbelief. The very next sentence, the very next verse says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So he said, Pastor, I can't do that. Well, that's exactly what Jesus did to these unbelieving 11 disciples. Look, if you think anything, consider yourself a little better off than the 11 disciples, because you and I did not spend physically 3.5 years with Jesus. They did. Hey, you know what Jesus said? He says, it is more required of you for those of you who know more. To them that, I can't remember off the top of my head how it goes, but to them who more is required. To whom much is given, much is required, he said. You know what that tells me? That tells me people who grew up in my house, people who grew up in God's house, have been given much. And God's going to hold you and I more accountable. You know more. Now, you and I weren't with Jesus 3.5 years like the disciples were, but it's almost akin to people that either are not saved or not living right, didn't grow up in Christian homes, didn't grow up in a Bible-believing church. You and I are more accountable than 99% of the rest of society. Because much has been given to you, then much is required. You know what Jesus says to you and I? Go out and win the world. Go and tell everybody about me. Tell everybody about Jesus. Not about Grace Baptist Church. Not about why you ought to be a Baptist. Not all the counsel of God. You're not supposed to tell everybody the whole counsel of God. You're supposed to give them the gospel. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if they throw it back on you and say, well, you know what? You're a sinner. I've seen you. You don't believe everything the Bible says. You know what? You ought to hang your head in shame and say, you know what? You're right, but I don't want you to die and burn in hell. Don't argue with people. Just be honest with them. If they say, well, I know that you've done something and you said something and I know you're not, I know you're a sinner. You know what you ought to do at that point? You ought to agree with them and say, you're right, please pray for me, I need God's help. I'm just concerned about you, and I don't want you to die and burn in hell. What's wrong with that? Get your pride out of the way. Get your ego out of the way. Do you realize that we're all a bunch of sinners here this morning? I don't care who you are. All of us got some kind of skeletons in our closet. And if they get exposed, I'm telling you, if all our thoughts were put on a screen over here, we'd all be embarrassed and put to shame. We're all a bunch of sinners saved by grace if you're saved, if you're born again. But don't be slow of heart to believe all what the prophets have said and what the scripture said. Don't do that. Don't kill yourself. Believe what God said. John chapter number 1, please. John chapter number 1.
starting at verse number 10. He was in the world. This is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Can you imagine being a creator of something, inventing something? Let's say you made a robot, and you made some kind of invention that could think and act on its own, and then turn around and say, you know what? That thing turns around and tells you, get rid of yourself. I don't want to see you anymore. And you don't have no power to control it, say. You can't stop, because after you make this thing, it's on its own. Has its own body, has its own mind. Can you imagine God creating the earth, creating the world, creating people, coming to his own, and his own rejecting him? Well, have you been there? I haven't been there yet, because I haven't created anything like that. But I've been to a place where you're hurt. You know what I'm talking about. Because people that you thought loved you has forsaken you, have deserted you, have ruined your life. Okay. You know what you need to do at that point? Believe God. That's what Joseph's brothers did. Remember the story? They throw him in the, and they threw him in a pit. They sold him into slavery. They were thinking about killing him. If it wasn't for his older brother sparing his life, say, no, don't kill him. We'll just sell him to the Egyptians. They sold him as a slave, his own brothers. You know what the Bible says? They meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Can you imagine being in a prison cell, in a jail cell, getting stuck, blaming somebody else because somebody lied about you, fingered you? Maybe you deserved it, maybe you didn't. Doesn't matter at this point. You're there. They meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Do you believe that? Do you believe whatever comes into your life, somebody may have meant it for evil, but God meant it for good? Do you believe Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them that love God? Do you believe that part of Scripture? You got to believe it. If you don't believe it, you're going to faint. I had fainted unless I believed. Verse number 12. Verse 11, he came unto his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The power of God is available to all those that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's available. You don't have to, you cannot persuade me to tell me that you can't have the power of God because you don't have the right education, you didn't have the right kind of parents, you didn't live in the right society, you don't live in the right country. You can't tell me that. Because the power of God is greater than any man, any circumstance. The power of God is greater than anything you'll ever experience or see or feel or touch or know in your entire life. And the power of God is available to every person who believes. That's all you got to do. 5-year-old boy or girl, you can have the power of God. But when you go to college, some college professor tells you it's a lie. The Bible's full of lies and contradictions. We came from monkeys and apes and tadpoles and amoebas. I mean, that's what they're telling people. And they're trying to persuade people not to believe. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to ruin your belief in God. I believe God. I believe God. I believe the Word of God. I believe the King James Bible. I don't care what comes into my life. I don't care what happens. Church goes up in attendance. Church goes down in attendance. Offerings go up. Offerings go down. Economy's booming. We go into a recession. I'm telling you, none of that matters about my disposition and my relationship with Jesus Christ. Absolutely nothing. Now, depression comes. We'll have to deal with it. We'll have to do some things. Lower finances, we'll have to change some things. Cut back. Lower attendance. I don't know. We'll meet in the other room if we can't afford to heat this auditorium. Well, we may have to change some things, but it ain't changing my disposition. It's not changing my belief in God. It's not changing my belief in the Word of God. It's not changing what I think about Jesus Christ or how I believe in Jesus Christ. If anything, it's going to drive me closer to Him, not further away from Him. Listen, verse 12.
But as many as received him, have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? The vast majority have rejected him. They make fun of people who believe in him. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And you can mature and grow up to become a son of God. Sons and daughters, the Bible says. You may be a child of God, but God's given you the power to mature and grow up. Even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word, capital W, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. How many times you say, well, I wish Jesus was physically here. Well, he is. Right here, I got a King James Bible. That's what John 1:14 said, the Word. It's made flesh. I have the Word of God right here. This is Jesus right here, written in written form. I wish Jesus was here, he could tell me, oh, what he wanted me to do. It's right here. All you got to do is read it and believe it. It's right here. He is the Word of God, the Bible says. His name is called the Word of God. Not a dream, not a vision, not voices, but the very Word of God. Do you believe him? I didn't ask if you believed in him. You need to believe in him to be saved, but do you believe him? Do you believe his word? You can come overcome anything if you do that. Just believing by faith the word of God. Let's all stand. Dear God, thank you again for loving us. Thank you for the word of God this morning. Thank you, Lord, for these dear folks. Please bless. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, we'll take about maybe 8-10 minutes. Come right back. 8-10 minutes.